I've named this sermon, I Am Prophet. I've just stuck with the I Ams for a little while, but I Am Prophet. We're going to turn to Numbers chapter 11, and I'm going to speak on prophecy. At the end of this, I want you to all understand every one of you can prophesy. Every one of you will be able to prophesy and be able to understand it at a greater level than ever before. You don't have to go to a school. Now, I'm not against prophet schools. I'm not saying that, you know, there's no such place for that. But let me also say this. If you prophesy, doesn't mean you're a prophet. Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh, so don't go get a new business card and start passing them out. Pastor said, I prophesy, so therefore I must be a prophet. Prophetess. All right. So we're not going to go over, you know, we're not going to get into that with, you know, running around with this title of prophet. There are still prophets in the body of Christ today, and I'm very thankful for prophets. But, you know, we could also judge a prophet by what they say doesn't come to pass. Ooh, all right. You know what they did in the Old Testament if the prophet's word didn't come to pass? They stoned him. I mean rocks, not the other way. He was not in Colorado. Thank you for the 3 or 4 people that got that joke. We will be doing drug tests after the service. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 24. Now, Moses has just prayed a prayer before we get to 24. He prayed the prayer that every burnt out pastor has prayed. Lord, if you love me, kill me. Kill me now. And so Moses has prayed this prayer to the Lord. He has asked the Lord to take him off the face of the earth. Anyone ever at least think it? Okay, my hand's up because I have prayed. Kill me now, Lord. That is not my prayer today. But I think all Christians have looked at the circumstances in front of them and said, heaven is so much sweeter. Take me now, Jesus. Or how about this one? If your people are like that, go ahead and take me home because I don't want nothing to do with them. Can I tell you something? God's people shouldn't be like that. God's people should be loving. God's people should be caring. God's people should be walking in the power of God. That's good preaching. I know it is, Pastor. Keep it up. All right. Numbers chapter 24 and Moses, Numbers 11, 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people. Now, this was God's answer. When Moses prayed, kill me. God spoke to him, and this was the answer to God's, to Moses' prayer. This was his answer. What was the answer? 70 men of the elders of the people set them around about the tabernacle, verse 25, and the Lord came down in a what? Some of you didn't even know it was biblical for God to manifest in a cloud. God will come down in a cloud. Have you ever seen the glory of God roll in like a cloud? That is a manifestation of the presence of God that we also see in the Old Testament. Hello. And I believe we're going to start seeing more and more. And so he took the 70. Now, let's look back at 25. And he and took the of the spirit that was upon him. Let me read that all together again. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto him and took the spirit that was upon him and gave it to the 70 elders. Can I tell you something? When leadership does not have the same spirit of the pastor, it's just bound for trouble. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm preaching good this morning. Be like, pastor doesn't know what he's doing. Let's set myself up against him. Let me tell you something. That is of the devil. That is of the enemy. And if you can't serve with a good attitude, then sit your butt down in the seat until you're able to change your own attitude. You can pray all day long that Jesus change your attitude, but it's you who are going to have to take the step to change your own attitude. You're not a baby who can't change themselves.
Amen.
You are a grown spiritual adult. The day that my children, and the last one, who just held on as long as they could. Like, just go. I told Jesse, I'm like, I'm duct taping her to the potty and I'm feeding her laxative. She would not let me do that. I don't know why, but she would not let me do that. And so there is a people that if they do not have the same spirit of the pastor, it is trouble. With a capital T, it is trouble. And honestly, have no place to be in leadership. I went to preach in South America, and I was asked to preach at a Catholic church. And I said, yes, I would love to. I was in Peru. First of all, the Catholic churches down there, I'm sure a lot up here. I haven't visited a lot of Catholic churches in America, but it was amazing. It was built in the shape of a cross, and the platform to preach on was awesome. And they said that I had to wear one of their, priest.
Colors.
Yes, I had to look like a priest. And I'm like, I can do that. I did ask. I had a special request for a cardinal's outfit because it was red. They said no. They didn't think it was funny at all. I thought it was hilarious. They didn't think it was funny at all. And they told me two things. They said, I need you to stay away from, don't you talk about Mary. And do not talk about our priest not being able to get married. Can you do that? I said, absolutely. Absolutely I can do that. I can submit to authority. And two, if I can't build this church up, I have no reason to be here. Now, they were charismatic, which was awesome. And we had a great time. But the point of it, if I was there to do anything different than to build up the body of Christ, I had no business being there.
Amen.
And so these people are in the interest, these 70 have the interest of the church, interest of the body of Christ. So if you want to be in leadership, your first thought process is, can I take the vision, run with it, and build up the church? If that cannot happen, you have no place in leadership. Now, I do want to say this. It says, and it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now, the NIV, I think, makes that a little clearer. It says, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. We'll get into that in a few more minutes. Verse 26. And there remained two of the men in the camp. One was named Eldad, and the other was named Medad. I like that. Both of them were fathers. I have to have at least a couple cheesy jokes per sermon. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad, do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, aren't y'all glad that I don't command y'all to call me Lord TL? Not going to happen? All right. I was just wondering. But, you know, that back then they called him Lord Moses. Forbid them. So basically what happened is Joshua found out that people were prophesying that were not in the tabernacle. How dare the ministers of the gospel prophesy? How dare those that are not in the ministry, don't have the title of pastor or elder, stand up and prophesy? So they ran to Moses and said, Moses, people that you have not ordained are preaching and prophesying God's word. Stop it and stop it now. Now, what did he say in verse 29? And Moses said for my sake, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon all of them? What does Moses say? Wouldn't it be great If everyone prophesied and the Spirit of God fell on everybody in this place, what if, now this time we're talking over a million people in the camp. And Moses is saying, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Spirit of God would fall upon 1 million plus people and every one of them would rise up and begin to prophesy the Word of God? Wouldn't this be wonderful? Which really went against the religious people around him. Because shouldn't at least those in command and a little higher up have just a couple extra special gifts than those that are below? That's the mentality of a lot of people. If I get up higher, then I can flow. Then I can prophesy. Then I can flow in the Spirit of God. I would just like to put this out there for your thought process. How about you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you? You are anointed by the Lord and you should be operating in spiritual gifts right where you are, with or without a title.
Amen.
I want to give you three facts about prophecy. Are you ready for this? And one of them maybe will rub against your religious teaching.
Amen.
That's good. Because, you know, I grew up that we had spiritual cows. Do you understand what I say when I mean spiritual cows? In India, there are people dying of starvation, but they have cows outside. And those cows are holy, so they cannot be touched. I read a story of in India, there was a snake that was a venomous snake that would come into the house, but because that snake was holy, they wouldn't do anything to it. It ended up killing several members of the family. Can I tell you something? If I had a snake in my house, that snake would be dead. Jesse would not even go in for many days afterwards. And if I had a cow in the backyard and my kids are hungry, we're having fillets. But there are Christians who have ideas and thought processes that have been in them for a long time that if you ever tried to touch it, they would starve to death before they would change it. They would attack anyone who would touch it before they begin to change it, instead of being open to what God is saying in that moment. We will not be those who will lift up thought processes above what God is doing and speaking to us at the moment. Oh, I feel like the bursting of 1,000 suns on the inside of me. If I wasn't saved, you know what I would do?
Get saved,
because this is the only life to live. Whew, I don't know what the world gets high on, but I enjoy this. Now, number one, are you ready? Point number one, all can prophesy. And I looked up the word all in the Greek and the Hebrew. And do you know what it means? All. A-L-L. It is the same in English, the same in Greek, and the same in Hebrew. It means everyone. So everyone can prophesy. In Numbers, when God's Spirit came upon them, they all prophesied. We read that where the Spirit of God fell upon the 70, and then the two dads in the just regular everyday walking through the camp, the Spirit of God fell upon them. Every one of them began to prophesy. Every one of them began to speak the clear definition, the clear word of God.
Amen.
Yes.
The key on all of those people was the Spirit of God fell upon them. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." That's white flesh, that's black flesh, that's brown flesh, that's every color in between flesh, that's albino flesh, that's speckled flesh, that's flesh that's been burnt by the sun, that's flesh that hasn't even seen the sun, that is all flesh. That is every denomination, that is every nation, and that's from the top of the world to the bottom of the world, from one side to the other. Every person shall begin to prophesy as the Spirit of God falls upon them. Now let's keep reading this. As the Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall what?
Prophesy.
So every color, every nation, male and female. Oh, some denominations ought to read this verse. Male and female. Don't let no one tell you because you're female you cannot flow in the Spirit of God. The Bible says there is neither Greek nor Jew, neither male nor female in the sight of God. For he has made us all equal and does not put one above the other in his sight of favor. So just because you were born in the right family, on the right side of the track, does not mean you have any advancement over someone I don't know, was born in the backwoods of Florida, in the poorest county, and was told they would never make it. Not only were they would ever make it, but they had a learning disability that just would not be able to overcome. God's spirit and opportunity is just as much for that person as it is for the person that had everything given to them. And if any one of them thinks that they deserve it more than the other, God forbid.
Yes.
We can all prophesy. Look at your neighbor and say, you can prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my servants, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So again, he is stating twice, my spirit will pour out, male and female, all flesh will prophesy. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 31. For ye may all, again, that is spelled A-L-L. And it means in the Greek, Hebrew, and the English, the exact same thing. All. All prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. As you begin to operate in any gifting of the Holy Spirit, you'll learn to flow in it better. As you begin to speak in tongues, can I tell you something? We have, I don't know why it is that speaking in tongues is taught in so many areas and in different manners. But can I tell you, when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it was one sound. It wasn't even a whole sentence. And most people, if they would hurt, thank God I was young enough not to be self-conscious or even be concerned whatever other people thought. But it was just one sound. It was just a sound. And I was unbelievably excited. I was floored that I was able to walk in this and have this manifest in my life. And most people would look at that and say, well, that's not really it. Because if it was, it would be a clear language. When your children are born and they, like my girls, both, I will look this way, both my girls said da, da before they said ma, ma. And the first time I was so excited. I mean, you couldn't slap that grin off of me. It was wonderful. And so when that happened, I didn't look at my kids and say, it's daddy. Daddy. I can't even believe you can't get it right. What's wrong with you? No, I was excited. Why? Because my baby is operating in something that she's just now stepping into it. She doesn't have it right. She's going to learn more. She can't even use it appropriately. And as she grew, she got better and she did better, more and more, but she would still use words in wrong places. And the one thing you've got to be careful is she said a word that was on the television in a commercial that was on the Family Channel that changed their names. You can't let them watch the Family Channel by themselves. You can't do it because they will say things on there and they will repeat it and they'll repeat it in children's church and then the children's church workers will be like, what is Pastor saying in front of his children? And so she was using words inappropriately. And I didn't go around, not inappropriate words, which one or two did come out of her mouth. But it was at a place where it's like she didn't even absolutely know what she was doing. But I didn't go to her and say, if you can't talk, don't even talk. Don't even do it till you get it right. This is ridiculous. God is excited when you begin to step into the move of His Spirit. Whether you have everything right or whether you don't. Whether it is, you know, all pretty or whether it's like me who has not learned to be pretty in the move of the Spirit of God yet. I'm going to get there one day. I'm going to be like Pastor Steve. I'm going to know how to flow and make it look nice. But until that day, it's just going to be wild and everything is going to fly. By the way, speaking of this, did anyone notice our ukulele player this morning? He had no shoes on. Thank you. I'm here like, you can take the boy out of Mazomania, but you can't take the Mazomania out of the boy. Some of you probably thought, that's holy. Look at him. Look at him like Moses. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. All of us can prophesy. The Spirit of God will be poured out upon all mankind, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what your nationality is, whether you were born in America or another country, or whether you were born in Antarctica, which I don't even know if possible, but wherever you are, God can move upon your flesh. And whether you're male or female, and if you're confused about that, ask somebody, we'll help you. But God can move upon all of you. Now, when we're talking about prophecy, we're talking about hearing from God. Prophecy is hearing a word from God for someone else. And for some reason, the church as a whole always seems to make things difficult for you to do. I remember when I was a young boy, I wanted to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would pray, I would bow down and pray, please God, make me a preacher. I want to spread your word. And when I told my elders in my church, they encouraged me. Would you like to hear how they encouraged me? Amen. Now, Tim, for many are called and few are chosen. If you go down this path and it is not the will of God, life will be hell for you. It will be terrible. The wrath of God will be poured out upon you. You better know that you know that you know that you know that this is the plan of God. Or help you, my son. I would fear for your life. Thank you for the encouragement. But prophecy is a message from God that all can give. Now, Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of Moses' prayer that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. Moses said, all of them. Wouldn't it be great if all of them had the Spirit of God poured out upon them and that they would all prophesy? In Acts chapter 2, we have the fulfillment of that prayer. Numbers, let's go back to Numbers 11 and 25. It came to pass that the Spirit rested upon them and they prophesied and did not cease. We said that in the NIV, it stated the Holy Spirit rested upon them. They prophesied, but they did not do so again. Why did the 70 not prophesy again? The Spirit of God fell upon them, and when it rose off of them, it wasn't there for them to prophesy anymore. I want to ask this question. Who was the first person in the Bible that the Holy Spirit fell upon and rested in them? Come on, my Bible students. Moses was not it. I heard Moses, but that wasn't it. It would fall upon him. Moses would even put a veil in front of him because his face would glow. He would light up like a glow worm. Did you ever have those where you press them and their face glows? How amazing that at the church of, our church, that the Spirit of God falls upon us. We all begin to glow like a candle from the inside out. Go to eat. And people are like, who are the aliens? And they would be correct. Because it says we are ambassadors and not of this world. So, no, Moses had the Spirit of God rest upon him, and he was saturated in the presence of God. He would stay more than any other person. I'll give you a hint. It's in the New Testament. Jesus. Boom. Somebody got it. It was Jesus. When Jesus was baptized in water, said the Holy Spirit rested upon him and it stayed with him. Now, let's just read it. John chapter 1, verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remain on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Spirit. So to be baptized with the Holy Spirit means that you have received the Holy Spirit and he remains with you. That was not possible until the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we do, as Moses, we do have someone in the Bible that stayed in the presence of God. God, you know, the Holy Spirit is talked about like water. And why would when people would take the coats of the disciples and cut them up into little pieces and put them on the sick that they would recover? Because the Holy Spirit can absorb into material. But we are able to absorb the Spirit of God. It is able to absorb on the inside of us. Moses was one of those who he would come out of the presence of God and everybody knew he was in the presence. Why? Because the Spirit of God rested upon him and absorbed in him. And so, but the first person that the Holy Spirit did not leave was Jesus. So the Spirit of God came upon Jesus and stayed with him. Now, I have to figure this out. Should I go to my next point or should we end it here and pick up next Sunday? This is next point. Okay. All right. I'm ending soon though. I will not be able to get through it all the way. When the Holy Spirit remains, it does not mean that we yield to him. It does not mean that we yield to him. Because you have something does not mean you yield to it. For it to flow in our life, yes, we have the Holy Spirit. Yes, it has rested upon us. Yes, he is with us. But we must yield to the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
We have to learn to flow with God's presence. And the more we do it, the more we will continue to be able to, and the quicker we'll be able to jump into it.
Yes.
When I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'd speak in tongues, but it seemed like it would take me a while to get back there. Now I can turn it on and off like a light. Why? Because I am well versed in flowing in the presence of the Holy Spirit when it comes to the concern of speaking in tongues. I can turn it on and off. I could leave this place. Let me tell you this too. I have fun with it. I was in a mall where I heard a lot of people speaking in foreign languages. So I decided, hey, I'm just going to speak in tongues the entire time. And I did. Now, I was in my early 20s, but I walked around. I spoke in tongues. I decided that I was only going to speak in tongues while I was in the mall. And so when I went to buy something, I spoke in tongues. The woman didn't understand me. She tried to speak in another language. She got other people over to come talk to me. Nobody could understand me. None of them were apparently baptized in the Holy Spirit that they could hear and receive, you know. So I went the whole day just speaking in tongues. I checked out, got all my stuff. I'm walking through the mall. I'm praying in tongues. Just lightly, not very loud, because I can't sing that loud and I'm not that great. And a lady stopped me and asked me, excuse me, sir, what language are you speaking in? Which it kind of shocked me because somebody would stop me and ask me that question. I said, well, I just basically said, you know, this is a language that is not, you know, spoken a whole lot, too much around this area. And it's a language that is not really spoken by any nation anymore. And she goes, a dead language? I'm like, no, not dead. But I said, you know, it's alive. And I just, you know, just kind of laugh. And she said, well, what is the name of this language? I said, well, the best translation, bless you, the best translation is tongues of angels. And she looked at me and she said, it truly is. And so you can operate in the giftings of God. Now, this word, the Holy Spirit, it is told to be our advocate and our helper. Now, in the Greek, it is the word parakletos. Parakletos. Now, it means to be called to one side. The Holy Spirit wants to come to your side because he is speaking. Now, I like to use stories and examples, and I'm ending soon. I may not be able to make it to point number two, but I'll give it to you before we get out of here. I was in Canada preaching at a church, and I'll be going back soon. Sometime this year. And as I'm in my hotel room, I'm just praying and just basking in the presence of the Lord, getting ready for service. And I just had a prompting, nothing loud, nothing outlandish or anything of that nature, just a prompting, get up, go outside. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. So I got up and I went outside and I'm still praying and I'm looking. And my hotel right across the road is a Tim Hortons. That's very Canadian, Tim Hortons. And so I, all of a sudden, as I'm standing outside, the morning sun is rising, the sun on my face feels great. I all of a sudden just have an urge, just a sense, just walk over to the restaurant across from Tim's, I think it was Montana's. And I'm like, okay, a wonderful American name for a Canadian place. So I walk up there and I'm just standing there and I'm just, you know, just standing. And I'm still praying in the spirit. All of a sudden, a big pickup truck that's dirty, big tires, something I can appreciate, pulls up and backs into the spot across from me. And a guy's getting out to go into Tim's because Tim's is unbelievably backed up. And as he's walking, the spirit of the Lord instantly on the inside of me gives me the man's name. And I'm here like, what if I'm wrong? So I decide to give it the test. I'm just going to say his name out loud and see if he turns around. So I say his name. He instantly turns around. And he looks at me and he just kind of bows up a little bit. He's like, do I know you? And I looked at him and said, no, but I know you. Now, can I tell you something? I had no idea what I was going to say. Until that very moment. And I said, I have a message. I have a message for you. And he bows up even more and begins to flex a little bit. And I'm here like, I can tell he's not liking this. Because I'm a prophet. Just kidding. Just kidding. And as he turns to me, I says, can I tell you something? God sent me. And just as soon as I said God, his shoulders dropped. I said, God sent me all the way from Madison, Wisconsin to deliver a message to you this morning. God loves you. And as a child, you loved him. But as time has gone by through many hurts and many disappointments, you have moved outside of his will. And he desires you to be back where he can commune with you, fellowship with you, and speak to your heart. And he started to walk back toward me and he opened the door of his truck and he sat down and he put his face into his hands and he began to cry. And I walked a little closer to him, but you know, I don't know how people are going to react. It's kind of like a wounded animal. They might sit there or they might lash out. I don't know what's going to happen. So I leave plenty of room between us. And he says, my grandmother passed away. And I told God that if that's how he is, I don't want anything else to do with him. And I walked out of the church. I walked out of him in my life because she meant everything to me. My mother was not there. My mother was not my mother. She's a horrible person. My father abandoned me, but my grandmother was there. And she taught me to love God. She raised me in church. But the moment she died, I was so mad with God. And I got to speak with him. We won't go through the entire conversation. But he rededicated his life right then and there. I invited him to church. But he said, I'm going back to my home church. Back to my place of worship. And I told him to get there and to become faithful. God, the Holy Spirit, will come alongside of you. And he will nudge you in the right directions, cause you to be in the right place, cause you to stop your plans when there is harm that will come in the way. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And listen, you may not always get it right, but don't stop trying. Hallelujah. Don't stop practicing the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the more you get it, And can I tell you something? When you get it right, there ain't no feeling like that.
Amen.
It's something that you're here like, oh my Lord, yeah. I want yeah. this every day.
Yeah.
I can't live without this. God, yeah. keep this coming.
Yes.
And God is more than able and more happy to keep you flowing in His presence. Jeremiah 23 and 25. Prophecy is not to get out of people a desired result that you want. And I've seen it used that way. I've seen parents prophesy to their children. I've seen pastors prophesy to their congregation. And they're after a desired result that they want. That is not what prophecy is. I'm glad that I got such a great amen on that one. Prophecy is not manipulative. That was my second point. First point, all can prophesy. Number two, prophecy is not manipulative. Jeremiah 23 and 21. I have heard what the prophets have said, that prophecy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophecy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Jump to verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets. Notice the Lord didn't say they wasn't prophets. He said, I'm against the prophets. They're using something for their own benefit and manipulation. Manipulation is as
witchcraft.
And that is nothing that we operate in. Yes, I will go there. There are some people that are really good with their words, with controlling situations. We're controlling conversations. Can I tell you something I loved? I absolutely loved. This still puts a smile on my face. When I was dating my lovely wife, isn't it amazing she told me not, she hasn't told me to stop these stories yet? Probably because she knows it won't do any good. But when I was dating my wife, it took me a long time to get at least one date. And in my mind, it was a date. In her mind, it wasn't. But I was right and she was wrong. Because look how it turned out. But I remember one time she came to me as we were dating and she said, you know what, Tim? She would tell me, I never dated anyone like you. And I would always respond, how did that work for you? You married yet? And of course she was like, well, no. And she was like, but I've never dated anyone like you. And she told me one time, she said, let's just be friends. Let's be friends. And I mean, like, in my mind, this was my thought. I'm like, look at you, woman. I have no desire to be a friend with you. There's nothing in me that wants to be your friend. I want to be your husband. Now, you can't say that out loud, but you can think that. And she told me that. She told me that. And I looked at her and I said, I have no desire to go to that place with our relationship. Now, I will quit. I will quit pursuing you if you answer these questions and you tell me, one, I have no chance. Are you telling me right now I have no chance with you? I'll quit today. Well, no. Okay, good. Good, good, good. Second question. Me pursuing you, am I emotionally hurting you? Would you tell me that I'm emotionally hurting you? And she said, well, no. I said, okay, all right, good, good. And so my response to her was, you can want a friendship from me, but that's not what I want from you. That's not my desire. So I'm going to keep pursuing you. And I'm not saying you're it. I don't even know. I'm not saying you are the one. But if you are, I'm willing to find out. And later, the reason I told you this story is because I loved her response. I didn't know this until later. She told me that day, after you told me that, she said, I was so angry with you. She said, I was so mad. I had no idea. That woman is amazing at hiding that. And trust me, you never want to see it. That's fantastic. No, she's great. She's great. But she told me that she was so angry. And later she told me, she says, I have always been really good at directing a conversation. And she said, I could always get to the end result that I was looking for. She said, but except with you. With you, I could not control the way things went. And there are people that are very good at controlling any situation. And I could think of someone in my mind that is not here. Praise the Lord. And I'm saying that to let you know that you don't know who this is. But I remember they gave me an option. They gave me an option. Pastor, do you want this or this? I said, neither. Okay. And they restated the question, the same thing, but in a different way. And I'm like, no, sorry, we're not going to do that. That is good, but it's not what we're going to do. It's not what we're called to do at this very moment. It's not what we're called to do. Later, this person was talking publicly with a group of people about how great it would be for churches to get on board and do this. And they looked at me and said, Pastor, don't you want to get involved in this? And I thought, well, you know, she's bold enough to talk to me this way in front of a crowd after I've told her no, so I might as well be bold enough too. I said, no, just like the first time I told you that we were not going to do it. Just like I told you that it was not going to happen, I tell you now, it's not going to happen. You want to do that? Praise the Lord. Go and make it happen. But it's not something that we're going to be a part of right now. Wow. And I looked and said, y'all have a great day. So you can prophesy and be a prophet and you can still miss it. But let's make sure prophecy is not trying to manipulate our desire to come to pass for a church or a person. Amen. I've heard such craziness as people prophesying, you shall be my wife. Ladies, if somebody prophesies that you are their husband or wife, well, yeah, get out. Get out. Don't let the door hit you. Just run. Get away from those people. Your weirdo meter should be going off the roof. That is not how God operates. And if you've operated like that, repent and move on. Kenneth Hagin said he had somebody who prophesied to him that he was going to give them his car. Well, I would have an immediate prophecy rise up in me. I could even speak in tongues before it. No. Now let me give you that in English. No. Spanish? No. I can give it to you in many languages. No. There. Somebody yelled out French, so I gave it to you in French. Prophecy. Everyone can prophesy. Number two, all prophecy is not manipulative. I'm going to give you my third point. We didn't even get through two, but I'm going to give you my third point so you can know this. All prophecy is encouraging. Yes. Yep. Let me tell you that one more time. One, all can prophesy. Two, prophecy is not manipulative. And three, prophecy is encouraging, according to the biblical definition. Now, people will call things prophecy that are not prophecy. They are warnings. They are word of knowledges. They are different operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But prophecy is encouraging and uplifting. Let's go before the Lord in prayer.